This week, gold and silver rallied to the highest points in 5 months as U.S. equities investors took some profits off the table. Happy Good Friday and Passover, everyone. On this Easter weekend, your host Chris Walczak back with you with two more must-hear guest interviews, and we open up the phone line and digital mailbag for our listeners' Q&A session. My first guest may be a big precious metals bull, but he's known for calling the right direction in every market from stocks to housing. Peter Schiff says, get ready for $5,000 plus gold. This is the real thing. The U.S. Fed is preparing for the biggest bailout in history. Who cares about QE 1, 2, and 3? Watch out for QE 4, plus a new housing bubble. This time, the subprime debt is spread among delinquent auto and student loans, with over $4 trillion at risk. While most eyes may be on U.S. equities this year, the Dow is barely above break-even, while gold and silver are in double digits. You'll want Peter Schiff's Gold Fund for the best gold equities. He shares the ticker symbol. Then Bill Murphy returns from Gotta.org with comments on the precious metals. We discuss the silver market and make a case for a run back to 21 in the next few months and perhaps as high as 26. And remember, we'd like for you to sign up for the Alpha Stocks newsletter. You can support the show and take a look at our weekly portfolios, including our gold and silver stocks, as well as the Bitcoin ETF. Just send a message to gsr@hughes.net, or you can sign up at the webpage. You can call into our question and comment hotline at any time you like, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 1-641-715-3900. You'll need our mailbox number 2-514-049. Robert Ian wraps up the show with his latest must-hear report. GoldSeek.com radio begins now with a market weather recap. Visibility was virtually unlimited yet again for the fifth week running over the precious metals as investors continued to search for safe haven investments as a U.S. aircraft carrier fleet headed in the direction of North Korea. Gold added $30, finishing around $12.87. Silver added about 50 cents, finishing at $18.62 an ounce. The precious metals XAU shares added $3, finishing just shy of $90, while black gold picked up a dollar, finishing around $53 per barrel. Gold and silver prices blasted to levels not seen since last year on Thursday, following comments from the president on U.S. dollar strength. Trump noted that he preferred a weaker dollar. Plus, growing geopolitical tensions with the U.S. and North Korea, as well as the Middle East, increased capital flows into the sector. The largest gold-backed exchange fund, New York-listed Spider Gold Shares, increased its holdings 6 tons on Thursday. That was the best figure in a month. Meanwhile, officials in China noted the tensions between the U.S. and its neighbor North Korea was reaching an irreversible and unmanageable stage as a U.S. aircraft carrier group headed for the region. North Korea has announced at least 6 nuclear tests in defiance of recent economic sanctions. Investors are unsure of the new president's policy towards the country amid a very tense situation. If the recent assault on Syria gives some guidance, the highly volatile North Korea could be faced with military actions, perhaps mirroring the 59 Tomahawk missiles launched on Syria last week by the U.S. Navy. But let's hope calmer minds prevail. Precious metals, bottom line. As suggested in the last report, the next leg did come, but much sooner than anticipated this week. The silver golden cross of 50 over the 200 period weekly moving average continues to suggest a retest of 21 up to 26. And commodities are supporting us, including the West Texas Intermediate crude, which has recovered most of its previous swoon in just a few weeks. Moving on to the Wall Street report, partly sunny skies appeared over the New York Stock Exchange as investors locked in profits as growing uncertainty over U.S. military policies plagued the markets. By Friday's close, the Dow Jones Industrials fell about 202 points, ending at 20,463. The S&P 500 gave back 27, finishing at 2328 for the week, while the NASDAQ Composite dropped 73, ending at 5805. Lastly, Bitcoin ETF was off 3 points, ticker GBTC, closing at 120. Elsewhere, the gross domestic product model at the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta indicated that the first quarter GDP growth will likely be only 0.6%. That's half the original estimate, suggesting much slower economic output in the coming months. Investors took this as a sign that the Fed will likely slow its rate hikes this year. Currently, the odds favor only one more increase to 1.25% at the Fed's overnight lending rate. That's by June or July at the earliest, according to the Fed Funds Futures contract. If rates stay constrained, it'll likely cap the U.S. dollar, which has been range-bound for about 2 years. That, of course, makes U.S. exports a better relative value, and that might just be the plan of the current administration. Bottom line on equities. Well, the greed to fear index continues to plunge. It looks like the markets could benefit from a capitulation moment to shake out the weak hands. I don't see any signs, though, that the bull market in U.S. equities is over. In fact, all this fear talk we hear from pundits online indicates to me that this is likely just a natural consolidation, which is typical in any healthy market. We'll be watching for signs of a bottom in the coming weeks. More Gold Seek Radio after this. Thanks for choosing GoldSeek.com as a trusted business and financial news source. Today's special guest, Peter Schiff from SchiffGold.com. Welcome, Peter Schiff.
Oh, thanks for welcoming me on.
Why don't we start off with Schiff Gold? Maybe you could tell listeners a bit more about the new company title and what the focus of your new venture is, please.
Well, it's the same venture. It's Euro Pacific Precious Metals, so nothing has changed except the name. So people can still get the same low prices on high-quality gold and silver products. I initially set up Euro Pacific Precious Metals because I have a brokerage firm, Euro Pacific Capital, and a lot of my clients are interested in precious metals. And I used to just refer them to find a reputable dealer, but too many of them were ending up finding unreputable ones, because a lot of those companies would advertise, and then they would end up pushing people into these overpriced products, and I heard a lot of horror stories. And so I decided just to set up my own company to make sure that people didn't get ripped off, and they bought the right gold and silver products. If they're really worried about inflation and a weak dollar, that they don't get talked into becoming coin collectors and then overpaying for coins that don't even have much in the way of collectible value anyway. You know, I started that a few years ago, and decided to rebrand it to make it more of a, clearly a separate company than my brokerage firm, kind of have its identity unique to itself. As we continue, I think, to become a larger player in that market, and hopefully we'll continue to expand our market share. We have been doing that over the past few years, and looking forward to continuing to take market share when the gold market starts to go higher.
They're talking tough on, maybe tightening, but on the other hand, their balance sheet is increasing. It's the highest level that we've seen in 2 years over at the Fred website.
Well, they keep on talking about the U.S. economy as if it were recovering. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Fed is forecasting Q1 GDP at just 0.6. And when February began, they were looking for 3.4% economic growth. They're now looking for just 0.6. And we could end up getting a negative quarter, which means we're already halfway in recession. And the Fed is talking as if the recovery is still on track and they're getting ready to raise rates again, when the reality is they're probably going to stop raising rates and they're going to start cutting rates and they're getting ready to launch the mother of all QEs.
We have an echo bubble in housing.
This is another bubble, but it's different than the last one in that, it's not about subprime borrowers and liar loans and nothing down and home equity extractions. This bubble is an institutional bubble because you have record ownership of single family homes by hedge funds and private equity funds who bought these things up in 09, 010, 011, and their plan was to rent them out for a while and then sell them to their tenants. Well, their tenants are broke. They're underemployed. They're unemployed. They have credit card debt, auto debt. They can't afford to buy these houses. They can barely afford to pay the rent on the houses. I think these guys are going to end up getting rid of these properties. They bit off more than they can chew. It's hard to manage a portfolio of single-family homes all around the country. Things start to go wrong. You have maintenance problems. Your tenants stop paying. They're vacant. So I think they're going to sell these things, and they're just going to blow out of the market. I mean, they're going to be selling houses like they sell their stocks they don't like, right? I bought the stock. It's 20. It's at 10. Get rid of it. Dump it, right? They're going to do the same thing with houses. They don't have a mortgage. They can take whatever the market will bear. So I think you're going to see just a collapse in some of these markets when the institutional speculators decide they want out.
They're calling it the Trump rally. However, now it's looking as though it's going to be a little more difficult to pass some of these tax ideas that they had in place and stimulus measures.
It is a bubble, and, you know, higher rates could prick it, an economic contraction or recession could prick it, a number of things. But, you know, there was a lot of optimism about the Trump win, particularly among Trump voters and Republicans who thought, oh, this is going to bring relief from excess regulation, excess taxation. Trump's going to make America great again. We have a lot of problems. They're going to blow up on his watch, unfortunately. He didn't cause the problems, but he's inheriting the problems. Meanwhile, they couldn't even get rid of Obamacare. That monstrosity is here to stay, unfortunately, so there's no relief there. Major tax reform is not going to happen. I think we will get tax cuts, but only after the economy is in a recession, and they're going to do it as a stimulus. But they're going to combine it with massive government spending on infrastructure, and the budget deficits are going to explode. They'll end up being closer to $2 trillion a year than $1 trillion, which means the dollar's going to tank, gold's going through the roof. And by the way, gold's already up more than 11% this year. The Dow Jones is only up 4%. So gold is almost tripling the return on the Dow, yet you wouldn't know that by listening to the financial news that's in love with the stock market and this Trump rally. There's a much bigger Trump rally going on in gold than there is in stocks. And this rally is just getting started. Meanwhile, the U.S. stock market rally is ending. I mean, this is a bubble that's going to deflate.
No, exactly. I mean, we've got 14, 15% on silver. Let's remember silver as well this year. They're both on a technical basis just gearing up for a launch to test the highs of 2016 and likely, you know, new bull market highs. So we're in the early innings there. I'm with you. However, but the bulk of the people, they're chasing stocks. They're not looking at the precious metals.
Yeah, I know. Like, I just had a conference call with a lot of our clients today. I mean, I've seen in my own client base, a lot of my clients over the last quarter have closed their accounts to jump on the U.S. bandwagon. This is massive capitulation. These are people who haven't owned U.S. stocks in a decade. Now, all of a sudden, they want to jump back in at, you know, Dow 20, 21,000. Meanwhile, they're ignoring the fact that their accounts maybe are up 30% with me in the last year. They're beating the U.S. stock market last year. We're beating it this year. This is just the beginning. And gold stocks, you know, gold stocks are only up about 16% this year, with gold up 11%. Gold stocks should be up 30 or 40%. The reason they're not is because there's still so much skepticism. Nobody believes this bull market. When people realize that this is the beginning of a huge move, I mean, they're going to be stampeding into these gold stocks. So, you know, my gold fund, the Euro Pacific Capital Gold Fund, EPGFX is the symbol for my gold fund. I mean, this is a gift horse buying opportunity, I think, in these gold stocks. We've got a great portfolio of junior miners, too. I tell people, don't try to pick them yourself. You know, let a professional pick those stocks. You need a real diversified portfolio. I mean, if you just want to buy the Newmonts and the Barricks and the Franco Nevadas, you know, anybody can do that. But if you want to get into the, you know, the smaller end of the spectrum of the gold stock, you got to have somebody who really knows the industry and the companies do that for you.
Yeah, we've got to extend a hat tip to your service because it was way ahead of the pack and it still is. So we're going to put the links up on the website, but I'd really like your thoughts about what's going to be the impetus that tops this economy. You're talking about a recession, but according to the Fed, you know, we have the lowest unemployment rate in 10 years.
We also have the lowest employment rate. Meanwhile, here's the trifecta of debt. We have credit card debt, student loans, and auto debt, all at record highs, all above a trillion. So you add those three together, you're over $3.5 trillion, getting close to $4 trillion in debt that is just for nothing. Student loans, credit cards, automobiles. Americans are leveraged up to the hilt. And a lot of people think, well, you know, we don't have as much leverage as we did in 2007. That's only because a lot of people don't have houses that had them in 2007 and they had mortgage debt. But credit card debt is higher and people have no home equity anymore. I mean, Americans are broke. The average American is living paycheck to paycheck, and a lot of Americans don't even have paychecks. So they're living credit card bill to credit card bill. That's why Donald Trump is president. He's president because the economy is a disaster. But electing him doesn't change anything. We have a major crisis coming. The only reason I prefer Trump, other than the fact that I hated Clinton, when everything collapses, he's got a better chance of listening to people that know what they're talking about and maybe taking a free market approach. But right now, he's not listening to the right people. He's listening to the neocons. He's listening to the Bush wing. He has aligned himself with all the problems of the Republican Party. He is fighting the Freedom Caucus and the Tea Party, right? Instead of joining those guys, you know, he is trying to make them more mainstream. So, you know, he's, you know, there's no game change here with Trump. Not yet. I mean, and we are headed over the edge of a cliff. And you just better make sure you're, you know, buckled up.
student loans, and car loans. We have the highest delinquency rates on record. And this is the new subprime. It's just not in housing this time. Maybe they learned their lesson somewhat.
Yeah, it's all subprime. I mean, you know, and you actually have this huge explosion of subprime auto lending. I mean, that's off the charts. You know, look what's already happening to used car prices. They're crashing because a lot of people are turning in their leases, and there's such a glut of used cars, and there's going to be a fortune lost. A lot of people that loan money to auto buyers, they're going to lose a fortune. Because, you know, the residual value on the car is not there. So when the lessor goes to sell the used car, they're going to end up taking a bath.
Give us an idea of whether or not geopolitical tensions are on your radar screen. 59 Tomahawk missiles launched, of course, into Syria. Could we see something bigger here?
It does show that Trump doesn't represent a change when it comes to foreign policy. He talked about how he was against the Gulf War, how he doesn't want to be an interventionist. Yet, you know, he didn't waste any time, you know, dropping bombs on Syria. Same old, same old. And this thing might escalate. You know, a little bit of a wag the dog. Because as the economy gets bad, presidents like to, you know, change the headlines by getting involved in military action. Because, you know, all of a sudden that unites the country. Your critics become your champions, right? Nobody can criticize you because then they're being unpatriotic. In fact, a lot of Trump's critics, the minute he started bombing other countries, all of a sudden, oh, now he's acting presidential.
Does this lead to severe societal...
You know, we're certainly going to have unrest. I think we'll have rioting, but that's going to happen when the dollar crashes and you have shortages of consumer goods, you have food shortages, you have power blackouts. I mean, all this stuff is coming, right? This is all in our future. So people better be prepared for it. I just don't know exactly when, but we're careening towards a dollar crisis. So, you know, I'm trying to prepare people financially for that. At least make sure that their portfolios weather the storm. But it could obviously be a much bigger storm that impacts people in much more profound ways other than in their pocketbooks. I mean, the last time the dollar rallied was, you know, 2008 when we had the financial crisis. But that's because the dollar was at an all-time record low and it had been falling for 8 years. The dollar is now at a 14, 15-year high. It's been rising for 8 years. So this looks more like 2001 when you had another dollar bubble and a stock market bubble. And when that stock market bubble burst, the dollar crashed for 7 years and hit an all-time record low. And that's when gold prices took off. That's when they went from under 300 to 1,000. It was during that time period. So I think now we're going to go a bigger move. We're going to go from, you know, where we started, the low was around 1050, and now we're headed up to 5,000, maybe higher.
It only took Warren Buffett a portion of his funds to corner the silver market back in the 1990s. Could we see a cartel or a group of billionaires corner these markets?
It doesn't have to be anybody trying to corner the market. It just has to be a few billionaires realizing that they don't have enough gold or they don't have any gold and trying to buy it because there's not a lot available. You know, see, you get a major move by some wealthy people or some hedge funds. If they actually want to position themselves long precious metals, there's not that much. You know, a lot of it is owned now by central banks and they're not selling. So, this could be a move. And especially the gold stocks. If you get the institutions in a big way trying to position themselves in gold equities, I mean, you can have some explosive moves. You got to buy these things now. Don't, you know, buy it before they're hurt. Don't try to compete with all the hedge funds. Try to front run them.
Do you anticipate fresh bull market highs in gold and silver?
Yep, absolutely.
So you're looking for maybe an inflation adjusted above 2000 on the yellow metal.
But yeah, I mean, look, think about all the money that's been printed since the last time, you know, gold and silver made a new high. You know, so it just measures the depreciation of fiat currency. Think of how much more money is going to be printed in this next recession. I mean, if you thought QE 1, 2, and 3 were big.
Do you see any chance of the Federal Reserve tightening its balance sheet?
You know, they've been talking about it since they started expanding it in 2009. Ben Bernanke talked about it. It hasn't happened for a reason. That's because there's nobody to buy the bonds when they stop rolling them over. So I think the balance sheet's going to expand. Right now, the balance sheet is at $4.5 trillion. And I bet it hits $10 trillion before it hits $4 trillion, if it even goes down.
And what happens if our trading partners start to turn their back on the Treasury? We've already heard some talk of that.
And that's just going to put more upward pressure on interest rates, which is going to put more pressure on the Fed to print even more money to stop interest rates from rising. And it just means inflation is just going to burn out of control. And that's another reason I'm so bullish on precious metals.
If you're expecting inflation like that, won't the middle class and the working classes, and not to mention retirees, be absolutely crushed?
The except the ones that have accounts with me. I mean, that have wealth, right? That's what retirees should do. They should be calling me up at Euro Pacific Capital, talking to one of my brokers, getting out of the U.S. stock market, getting out of the U.S. bond market, and building a portfolio of foreign assets in New Zealand, Switzerland, Singapore, Hong Kong, Norway, get real quality stocks, get good dividends in foreign currencies, and have some precious metals exposure. Protect yourself from what's coming. Most retirees are going to be wiped out. In fact, 5 years from now, there won't be any retirees left. They're all going to be back in the workforce. They're going to be too broke to be retired. They're going to have to find a job. Who knows what they're going to do, but they're going to have to do something because they're not going to be able to live on their retirement. They're not going to be able to live on their Social Security. If they still get it, it's not going to be worth anything.
Exactly. We'll be, I guess, repairing the automated Ubers, right, and not to mention automated retail stores.
The retail space is in worse shape than it was in 2008. Look at the store closures. Look at the bankruptcies. This is the tip of a huge iceberg. This is a wave of bankruptcies, which is also going to hurt the commercial real estate market where you have a lot of tenants that are retailers. But people can get a hold of me. Go to europacificcapital.com, EUROPAC.com. Call us at 800-727-7922. Open up an account. Transfer your account over. You got an IRA. Transfer that over. Let me build a real portfolio that will protect you from what's going to happen. Look me up at shiftgold.com. Buy some physical precious metals. In fact, everybody listening to your show should also go to goldmoney.com.
Takeaway question. Next 10 years, the odds that we return to a gold standard, domestically and globally.
Well, I think the odds are 100% that individuals will return to a gold standard using a service like Gold Money. Whether we will officially go back on it during that time period, it's hard to say. But I do think that inevitably, if this country is not going to collapse into oblivion, if we're ever going to get back on the right track, one of the first things we're going to have to do to get back on track is to reclaim sound money. We're going to have to go back on a gold standard because there's going to be no real prosperity unless we return to a gold standard.
All right. Peter Schiff, thanks so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
Bill Murphy runs Gold Antitrust Action Committee with Chris Powell, and they're working on behalf of all global gold investors. Welcome back, Bill Murphy.
Great to be here, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back with us. And, you know, a lot of volatility in the markets the past few weeks and tremendous political instability and tensions increasing in the Middle East tends to turn people usually to safe havens.
I, for one, don't think that the geopolitical situation means a thing. I've never seen a gold price rise over the last 18 to 20 years, either less at any time. And I think it's an excuse for a brewing market in gold and silver that's way undervalued. And there's a lot of other reasons that are powerful that are sending it up. Finally, and the gold cartel, as your listeners probably know, are trying, from my standpoint anyway, trying to stop it. And I think we've got something very exciting in the works here.
You know, we've seen these markets, particularly the silver market, building up steam and momentum for what looks like an inverted head and shoulder, at least from a technical perspective, with a maybe a slingshot attempt at the previous high of 2016.
Well, it's interesting in that gold, you know, blew through its reverse head and shoulders formation, as you mentioned, for silver, and broke out in a very powerful way. And yet the gold cartel, J.P. Morgan and allies, are keeping silver under wraps and not letting it get close to 1850, and it's ridiculous. You've got the silver open interest near an all-time high. They're going berserk trying to stop it. I think it's because it's their kryptonite. I think if we do get it to 1850, which should occur, you're looking at a run to 21, and it breaks through 21, as you've heard me say many times, then I think the price goes bonkers. But I've never seen anything so ridiculous in all my life, what they're doing to try to keep silver at bay here. And I think it's because they got a big problem.
You know, we've had callers, one in particular, who just called in this week on this week's show. Really, in the Gata camp, they're looking at somewhere between 50 and 500 million ounces, hypothetically, within J.P. Morgan's vaults of silver, that is, as a means to keep clients' confidence level high that their massive short positions are safe. Whereas in reality, the pittance of silver that they have on hand couldn't cover a fraction of the derivatives they've been tossing naked on this market.
Good point. One thing we do know is ever since we've heard about the J.P. Morgan stash, silver has never acted worse. It's been in a trend down here for 4 years, and because of what J.P. Morgan and allies are doing. And what is interesting is that J.P. Morgan may have some silver, or does, based on the public records, it's supposed to. What about their comrades, their allies, the other shorts? What do they have for protection purposes? And of course, we don't know, but what we do know is that, as I mentioned, that the open interest on the COMEX is right near an all-time high, and the price can't even get above 1850. And it just shows the stress, in my opinion anyway, in the silver market. And once they do lose control, look out above.
One of our favorite longtime guests who's retiring soon, James Turk of Gold Money, he pointed out for years that we really need to keep an eye on the Fed's balance sheet. And last week, the Fed minutes, I couldn't help but notice them talking so hawkish, you know, about how we're tightening up and everything. And look at the Fed's balance sheet, the biggest uptick in 2 years since it's been consolidating at around $4.5 trillion.
Well, that's a good point. You know, with all this establishment talk about how great everything is in the U.S. economy. Why is, for all this recent Fed rate hikes and so on, why is the yield of the 10-year note now below 2.3%? It's a recent low in 6 months, I think, and just about gets close to when after Trump won the election. So the yields there are not saying things are so great. And in my opinion, they have mentioned this before, that they've got to inflate the system to save the system. I think that's what you're seeing in the gold market price action, and one of the real reasons behind its recent rise. And that things are brewing up for some big moves in the precious metals throughout the rest of the year.
And we're certainly seeing, you know, a lot of sideways consolidation, which you oftentimes see before a big move like that. I mean, there's top folks starting to pay attention, I think, to these markets that have been beaten down for so long. I mean, who would want to even think about buying a home during an echo bubble at these levels? Who would be interested in adding to shares of stocks, even bonds, after a 30-year bond bubble? The precious metals might be the only discounted asset class worth looking at.
You know, I'm prejudiced, of course, Chris, but what Gata brings to the table is that both gold and silver are at artificially low prices that are ridiculously low. You mentioned James Turk. I mean, according to James, if gold had been allowed to keep pace with inflation, it would already be at $3,300. And that's without any other issue. So, yes, they are way undervalued compared to other assets, and I think the prices of both are going to explode. And it's liable to happen out of nowhere. But we know the bad guys are doing all they can to keep it down. And yesterday, the gold open interest went up 23,000 contracts. They're just doing everything they can to prevent this from occurring, but I think they're going to lose.
And if we look at what's going on geopolitically, that's not a primary focus, but still, during times of extreme tensions, and I can't think of a time where politically things seemed more tense. Big hot spots in the Middle East and whatnot. Here's an example. Last week's meeting with Premier Xi Jinping, I believe, with China, didn't come across as there was much accomplished at this meeting. And Russia's obviously very upset, rattling its sabers. I just would not be excited by paper assets with the threat of, you know, some serious conflict ahead.
Well, from my standpoint, like you said, I'm not much of a big fan of geopolitical events for gold and silver moving it up because I've never seen it mean anything. They rattle the sabers, go back and forth, nothing ever happens. You run, hit the nail on the head when it comes to the meeting with the Chinese leader and Trump, and that didn't seem to me, too, that it went over that well, and that's a big deal because if, you know, we get real friction there from an economic standpoint, that could be a mega deal for gold and silver, and we'll have to see how it plays out.
So far, it's been a really rock-solid year. Silver up about 14-15% on the year. Gold not too far behind, around 8-9%. And the shares still treading water, a rebound pattern over the last 2 years. What should folks be watching for, do you think, for the rest of 2017?
Well, for me, and this is just my own opinion, there's only one thing that matters, and that's whether the gold cartel blows up. If not, we're never going anywhere. All these things that we've dealt with all these years, again, they haven't meant a thing. But I think they do have some trouble and that they are going to get overpowered. And that's what it's going to take to send the gold and silver to where you and I think they ought to be. And I think that's in the works. So I'm very excited about that. But that's what I'm focusing on. And we'll just have to see if we get some change in the way they do things and if they're able to operate at these present lowly price levels.
Yeah, I would propose that it's inevitable that this blow up, as you refer to it, with the cartel is inevitable, because if we look at the price inelasticity of silver and gold, I mean, I know we've talked about this ad infinitum for decades, it seems like now on the show. At some point, it crosses that threshold. I don't know if it's a chip maker or an auto manufacturer, or we have to have a strategic stockpile. Maybe it's a country. Maybe it's another Warren Buffett. Maybe it's George Soros. Somebody says, I'm tired of these paper stocks. You know, I want something tangible in my bunker. And I think at that point, when the industrial demand also comes into play, then the investment might just take off like a rocket.
Well, of course, I think this is what's coming. I'm looking for silver to run towards 50 and then towards 100. So can't happen soon enough for me. And I just hope we're getting close to that tipping point in which the J.P. Morgan crowd just can't do it anymore. And I think we're close. But every time we do get that close, they go all out to prevent it from doing so, which I mentioned earlier. Just keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, remember, that's just what happened in 2010. Gold just blasting to new highs, 1,000, 1,200, 1,300. Silver just sitting there on its hands. Couldn't break that $16-17 price level. And then you couldn't stop that train for 9 straight months.
That's my whole point. Back then, silver to open interest on the COMEX was about 130,000 contracts up and plus or minus all the way up. We're now over 220,000 contracts. It's just staggering and almost in historic proportions of what's going on here of the bad guys trying to keep the price down. For some reason, they let it go, and I don't know what it's going to take this year to force them to cover or have them blow up. And it's a huge difference right now.
It sounds to me like you've identified a key aspect of the story, and we're just going to have to keep watching it closely. I think you'd probably agree, though, the technicals and the chart patterns are just screaming 100% gain from here. I normally don't like to put projections out there. I'd say let's watch 21 and then we'll watch, you know, 25, 26. But I see 36, 35, 36. I don't think they can stop it. Frankly, the best investment now for 2017. Bill Murphy, we appreciate your thoughts. Could you tell us more about La Metropole and Gata.org?
Well, I have LaMetropoleCafe.com. Been doing it a long time now, and people can sign up for a 2-week free trial if they like, and then my good colleague Chris Powell, who just got back from Hong Kong and Singapore, does a great job at www.gata.org, and people can get on their list, and Chris can keep them up to date and with his format. So thanks for having me.
A Okay, great to be back with you at GoldSeek.com Radio, reaching into the digital mailbag and opening up the phone line for questions and comments.
Chris, John from San Diego calling again. Great show. Just a question real quick here. Bix Weir just released some information on a YouTube video saying that he's tracked down what he purports to be a huge secret stockpile of silver held by the U.S. government, 2.75 billion ounces taken from the U.S. silver stockpile during World War II and the development of the Manhattan Project. This is really a game changer, I would think. That's about 4 years' production of silver bullion, 2.75 billion ounces. It's at least for 3 or 4 years' production. So now Bix says he does not know. It's unknown how much actual above-ground silver there is in the world. It's got me a little worried. Because I've got a lot of silver, and I'm sure a lot of the other of your followers also have a lot of silver, supposedly stashed away somewhere in government warehouses or wherever it is. And as Bix said in his video, this would explain where the silver is coming from to suppress the price. Bill Murphy of GATA has also expressed wonderment as to where they're getting the silver from, because obviously there's got to be a physical component of this price suppression. They can't just suppress it in the paper market and expect it to stick unless they're able to deliver actual physical silver. So now, granted, it's 3 or 4 years of silver production, 2.75 billion ounces. Perhaps not all of it's for sale because it's national strategic importance to keep X amount of silver readily available. And there's a lot of your people out there that listen to you that are heavily invested in silver like I am. You got a lot riding on this, so maybe we should switch out of silver into gold, even if we have to eat a loss, because who knows what these characters are going to do. Silver is a very dangerous thing to these people, and they keep a very, very tight leash on silver, obviously, much more so than gold. That I can't figure out, but I have read in a number of places on the internet, in the precious metals, J.P. Morgan has a stash of something like 500 million ounces of silver bullion. I was wondering if you could substantiate this. I think it was Ted Butler that originally floated this notion, but I've read in other places that they only have about 60 million. I was wondering if you could clear that up, because it'd be very interesting to know why J.P. Morgan is sitting on what is essentially a dead asset, not generating any income, unless, of course, they're selling it short somehow on the futures exchange and earning income off it that way. I don't know. Also, I heard an interesting interview with a Texan by the name of Charles Savoy, who gets into the idea that the Pilgrim Society is planning on confiscating silver bullion. And of course, we both know, or maybe you don't know, that FDR did the same thing back in 1933. People erroneously think it was only gold that was confiscated, but he confiscated silver too. That could happen. That's why I would diversify with gold and gold mining shares. I know silver's got more potential. You better think about buying some gold and gold mining shares to boot. I think that Ted Butler, who is closely associated with SilverSeek, your sister site, claims JPM has over 500 million ounces of silver in its private hoard. However, I heard Craig Hemke say in an interview that at the max, they only have 60 million ounces, and they're using that as a safety valve in case their short positions wind up blowing up so they can deliver into those positions in case silver takes off. Anyway, so who's right, Ted Butler or Craig Hemke? I wish somebody would sort this out, because I've read that they either have over 500 million ounces or they only have 60 million ounces. Which is it? If you can get to the bottom of this and point us in the right direction to verify exactly what JPM has in the way of silver bullion, that would be very interesting. Keep up the good work. I look forward to your answers. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, hi, John. You know, I think this is an interesting development. Yes, 2.75 billion ounces. I have read of this. Interestingly, when I was researching my wealth building strategies 2010 with Wiley and Sons, our publisher, I did come across that the cyclotrons in Tennessee, as well as in the South west of the United States, the cyclotrons, oh, and I believe the Pacific Northwest, the cyclotrons that were used to enrich plutonium and other uranium products, of course, for our nuclear programs, as well as for nuclear reactors to light our cities, they did require massive amounts of silver, and I believe that silver was used in the unbelievably huge magnet in the cyclotrons in that refining process. Of course, today, I don't think that's required. They would likely use copper and other substitutes, and it's done in a more of a centrifugal manner. But nevertheless, that's what they had at the time. So you're right. They used a great bit of the stockpile. Most of the materials used in the colutrons were primarily copper, as you would expect. It's relatively much less expensive. As it turns out, the majority of the silver borrowed from our U.S. Treasury during the war, World War II, for the Manhattan Project was returned. Evidently, there may have been a few tons remaining, you know, held in these colutrons, magnetrons, and other devices used during the war, but it's nothing along the lines of billions of ounces. It'd be more along the lines of maybe 20 to 50 tons. If you'd like to do more research on it, it looks like Building 9731, that was the pilot plant used to separate. It's an interesting and intriguing story, and it's kind of shocking to hear from Bix Weir, because he's on record noting in his own literature, as well as in other interviews, that silver has a potential price tag of $100,000, even as high as $1 million an ounce in a perfect world, should I say imperfect world, where everything implodes silver. So it's a little odd to think that he's uncovered something here that even Ted Butler has maybe missed. Of course, the great folks at GATA are really good friends, Bill Murphy, Chris Powell. You know, I'd like to keep our focus, you know, on silver with the amazing opportunity because, as folks have heard, I'm sure, ad infinitum all over the web and on other interviews, reading my book and whatnot, most of the silver mined has been mined. Silver pools near the surface, and of course, it's primarily a byproduct of lead and nickel production. What we will find is that it is much more scarce material, and it will continue to follow gold higher in the coming years. And this is just one of those overlooked issues. Silver has such industrial demand as well as investment demand. Maybe this is boring. I know to some of my listeners, you know, gold, on the other hand, really has virtually limited industrial demand simply because it's so valuable. It makes it cost ineffective to include it in your cell phone, right? Fraction of an ounce is still costly in a cheap cell phone or a keyboard, but your keyboard is likely filled with silver. People don't know this. It may be relatively small amounts, but the real takeaway, of course, is the industrial demand. It's just a remarkable thing because it is probably the most useful precious metal. I don't want to say the most useful metal because iron, steel, copper, obviously, but precious metal has inelastic demand. So it really doesn't matter how high the price goes because it's used incrementally. If it goes to 100, that's not going to stop folks from creating keyboards. They might just find ways to reduce the amount a little bit, but it's just absolutely essential to the solar power industry, which is just taking off, the computer sector, technology, electronics, soldering in the walls. I mean, talk to an electrician, they know all about it. And plus, now high power transmission of electricity is requiring massive silver. With the emergence of India in particular, as well as China, and not to mention the whole Asian region, this new information revolution that has taken over the Western world, the combination of all these factors makes silver hands down the best possible investment that a human being can make. Now, as for this interesting topic about J.P. Morgan and their supposed somewhere between 50 to 500 million ounces of silver held in their vaults, I've read this and heard this from several guests on the show now over almost 12 years here on GoldSeek, as well as our great listeners and callers and folks who write in. And again, haven't seen too much in the way of evidence. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's intriguing and it makes some sense. I mean, I would presume from the little that I've gleaned on this topic that having a stockpile of, let's say, 50 million ounces makes more sense. And the idea would be to have deliverable silver in the event that a regulator or perhaps a major player attempted a force majeure, you know, attempted to make good, to call in their shorts against the silver market? Because I think the big story here is it does seem as though they have an astronomically large paper or derivative short play against silver. So by having that big stockpile, obviously, it's easy to convince folks we can make good on our bets. Let's go short around 50 and 40 and 30 and buy up physical silver around 13, 14, 15, 16. You know, it's a really great play. I can't blame them for making it, but I think ultimately it blows up J.P. Morgan. And, of course, everyone knows the big risk there is this is a major money center bank. There's only about six in the U.S., and they carry over $250 trillion in derivatives exposure, and I think we really have to presume that a big chunk of that exposure is this silver short, and that is not an industry I'd want to be short, especially not now, not after a long, bitter 5 or 6 years and a basing period. Market looks as though it's ready to blast to 21, even 26. And then on to Mr. Savoy's expose on the Pilgrim Society. Again, that's why I love hearing these questions and comments from our listeners. I don't know that I've ever been exposed to the Pilgrim Society, and I've spent more decades than I care to admit reviewing and researching these clandestine societies. So a hat tip for that. It seems to imply that the Pilgrim Society is sort of the capstone on the pyramid of these secret societies, which is interesting. I always thought that was the Illuminati. That's what most of the literature out there, and Fritz Springmeier, for instance, one of the tops, I think, in the field, indicates. But okay, Pilgrim Society, and it does seem as though their planned goal is to apparently accumulate sound money to the detriment of most of us Americans and global inhabitants. Do some research here if you're inclined. I'd like to hear more about this. I only found limited information, but the links are up on the webpage. Next, it's Mark and Kenneth. They both applaud your humble host here on his PhD. Well, Mark and Kenneth, thank you. It sounds to me like you both are aware of just what a lengthy and laborious task that can be. And then there's another interesting comment here from an anonymous listener, concerned about a loophole for gold owners where you can earn a rebate of up to $300 for each gold ounce you own. It's evidently Rule 214A5. And this is apparently a government rebate. Then way back when the precious metals were legitimate sound money, they are no longer held as such in this society. I would be wary of accepting this loophole, probably in one's tax returns. It just sounds a bit shady to me. And I would like to hear more about it. I've also put up a link. And then Monica writes in, well, she'd like a free copy of the Alpha Stocks newsletter. It's all our weekly picks and our, of course, track record and results, as well as the portfolio laboratory, where we try to maximize using back testing and forward testing on our alpha and betas of each portfolio to maximize future returns for our listeners on a long-term basis. We've had, I think, some really remarkable portfolios over the last, believe it or not, six, seven years. So we're well over 300 weekly portfolios now. So I want to thank all our listeners and folks who have subscribed. And if you haven't subscribed, we'd love to have you on board. You can always just test us out, $29 a month, or I recommend the $147 annual. It's really a bargain if you look at everything we bring to our listeners. And Monica also asks about medical cannabis. This is a fascinating sector of our society. It's one that I'm very impressed with. I was hesitant at first, I think, like so many people. Like, remember Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who was just an outspoken detractor of the cannabis movement, and now he is an outspoken proponent of cannabis. I mean, he just cannot say enough positive things about the health benefits for folks who have true medicinal needs. By making it legal in Colorado and California, they are the test bed. They are the litmus test. They will let us know, you know, I think we can make the same argument about prescription things and whatnot. So this is a complex debate and one that this isn't the venue for. We do look at the medical cannabis stocks, and we do like the prospect of helping patients, particularly those with epilepsy, glaucoma, and certain rare cancers, as well as chemotherapy, which my wife recently went through. It's a really shocking procedure, and evidently this cannabis can really help with nausea and as well as increase the appetites of folks with wasting diseases. So there's just a host of fascinating things here, and of course, again, in a purely medical situation, we're not discussing anything recreational here on the show.
Thanks, Monica. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Kenneth. And, of course, thanks, John. I hope you're enjoying that beautiful San Diego weather and the rest of you enjoying the spring weather. We'd like to hear from more of you in upcoming shows.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember, to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond, your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
This is Robert Ian with GoldSeek.com Radio. I'm sure you recall the expression, say uncle. In North America, say uncle means demanding that the opponent in a contest submits. The response, uncle, is the equivalent to I give up and indicates submission. Do you, or have you, gotten the impression in recent weeks that there is just too much information to keep up with, to process, and to pay the necessary attention to? The subject matter within our collective focus has been changing faster than a kaleidoscope on steroids. We've gone from spies to wars to unfriendly happenings in our skies. Evening talking head lineups with a barrage of three or four shows in a row take the issues of the day and parse them 100 different ways with no real resolution, and then move on to the next issue. Real issues that went viral before and after the election are being relegated to temporary, and I'm sure some would hope, permanent amnesia in the public mind. Do you get the impression that the rapid changing of the subject in the concentrated media delivery system controlled essentially by six corporations is an attempt to get the public at large to forget about critical issues the public wants to see justice on? Do you feel, especially in recent weeks, there is a not-so-subtle effort to make you say uncle? To just accept what is being presented to you without any critical thought? Where have the discussions about all the important issues gone? What happened to the March 15th budget deadline? And the fact a fierce and vicious budget debate looms in our immediate future, but no one will discuss it. Now, let alone commit to a plan for solving it ahead of time. Healthcare is all but forgotten at the moment, but more double and triple digit percent increases loom for later this year. Increases people cannot afford. Despite frantic and organized rhetoric to the contrary, it was healthcare that shifted the balance of the power in the 2016 presidential elections. People vote their pocketbooks. Don't ever forget James Carville's famous line, probably his single greatest public contribution, where he said, "It's the economy, stupid." Crisis management rules the day. Unfortunately, it always has in politics. Political leaders fool the public by skillfully defining or framing a problem, and then many in the public believe that a particular party and certain individuals within that party know how to solve the problem because they have mentioned it or defined it. They feel as if they have been heard, and then nothing happens. Solving problems requires action, and when action is not forthcoming, new problems are created or spotlighted to take our mind off the previous problems ad infinitum. When I was a kid, I recall watching an episode of Hogan's Heroes, where Colonel Hogan needed to slip out of camp on a mission. He proposed creating a grand diversion. He said if your toe is aching and someone hits you on the head with a hammer, you soon forget about your toe. The mainstream media continually bombards us with hammers, trying to get us to forget about issues of relevance. The real problem is, was, and has been the economy and the debt. All other problems are a derivative of that. And the real battle has always been for your mind. Algorithms are censoring online content as we speak. The war against free and independent thought is being waged invisibly to most. Debt erodes your standard of living. Censorship erodes your standard of thinking. Fight both of them, because that's the real war that's taking place. And until next time, this is Robert Ian with ConquerChange.com, reminding you to follow us on Twitter at ConquerChange. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, Robert, thanks for another excellent installment. Well, that wraps up this week's GoldSeek.com radio episode. For two new big guests, be sure to check out next week's show. Until we talk to you again, have a great week. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Arriva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.
The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity, Brazil Resources. Based in the eighth largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves, industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garneiro, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment bank, and founding director. Their São Jorge project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their RIA project, which is a joint venture with Arriva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.